What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to the Brooklyn Buzz. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Jack Manuel. Jack, what's up?
Happy birthday to me.
Yes. Happy Australian birthday. And then about 46 minutes, happy U.S. birthday.
By the time you release this, Nick, it will be my birthday in all countries and all hemispheres across the world.
And you got a nice early gift. The Nets won 135-125. But a quick reminder, you can find us on iTunes, ggbasketball.com, netsrepublic.com, Google Play, and Dash Radio. But, Jack, what do you want to get into first, the good or the bad?
Let's just break it down, I guess, a little bit by bit, Nick. You know, the first half, I was really confident what the Nets were doing. You know, I think that they were their own worst enemy at times. I know that the turnovers were just, you know, they kept on happening for both teams. It's funny, the way that the Nets player have played so far this season, they match up better against teams that play a similar style of basketball to them. You look at the Houston Rockets and the Pelicans. Stylistically, very similar teams like to get out and transition, at least when Westbrook's on the floor for the Rockets. And they really emphasize the three ball. Whereas against a team like the Pistons and a team like the Pacers, you know, there was a clash of styles and it doesn't necessarily suit because the Nets aren't great at defending the mid-range because it's just not in their DNA. But tonight it worked to their advantage, and I wish that they could have closed it out a little bit better. But you know, Brandon Ingram was just Kevin Durant out there.
Yeah, Brandon Ingram was disgusting. Torian Prince had some good defense. Jared Allen at times, but you know, Ingram was just locked in. But like you mentioned from the start, you felt confident about the Nets, but there was a chance New Orleans playing at that pace and that 3-point shooting style that they could get back into the game, and that's exactly what happened. And that's why the turnovers hurt so much for the Nets in the first half. If you know, they probably cut those in half, they're going to halftime with probably a 20-point lead.
Exactly. And, you know, it was borderline 20-point lead, and it did get to around that sort of margin.
It got to 20, at the highest point in the third quarter, and I believe going to the half there at 17.
Yeah, so it was 50 to 67. Yeah, so 17 points at the half. And then somehow Brandon Ingram just takes a Michael Jordan special juice from Space Jam and turns into Kevin Durant, and they score 48 points in the third quarter, and the Nets score 37 themselves.
And I think the problem with that quarter was the Nets, instead of just kind of slowing things down and like, okay, let's get this thing under control, they kept playing at such a crazy pace, and obviously that's what they want to do to get quick buckets. But when the other team's on the run like they were, I think it's sometimes you just got to eat up a little clock, make sure you're getting a good shot, and then making sure you're getting back on half-court defense. You saw a lot of open threes come from transition defense not able to get back, or you know, a couple offensive rebounds, and it was just like, you allow them to get that momentum, and now they have a chance to get back in the game, where you need to kind of snip that in the butt as soon as you see that 6 or 8-0 run.
Yeah, I think that Kyrie Irving seemed frustrated at times when he was going to the bench. I think that, but overall, I thought, you know, his demeanor looked okay. I'm just saying because I was at the game, so I was able to, you know, see firsthand, you know, he was having some conversations with Kevin Durant and, you know, Kenny Atkinson as well. They seemed to be having some productive conversations one-on-one. For me, it's odd, and this is probably going to come off as bias from the number one Joe Harris stan. Shout out to Matt Brooks, Nolan Jensen out there. But he seems like our smartest, most composed player the majority of the time, outside of Kyrie Irving, because Kyrie Irving has done it on the biggest stage, and he just knows what to do. Joe Harris, I think, technically has a ring as well, but he obviously, you know, didn't produce there. So for me, whenever Joe has the ball in his hands, I feel like there's not, you know, he's not going to turn it over. Whereas, you know, if it's in Spencer's hands or Karras's hands, you know, there might be that, you know, you're confident, but you know, you're also a little bit tentative. Whereas Joe was just incredibly steady tonight, and he just takes shots that are just perfect. You know, 19 points, 4 of 9 from three. He just keeps doing. He's just maybe the most consistent role player in the league. Maybe the most consistent sort of like fourth, fifth starter going around.
And you definitely can feel him out there, what he brings to the offense with just that extra movement. And I think it would be safe to say is he might know the scheme the best out of guys who've been on the team. Yeah. Like, he just looks confident out there, and you mentioned that. 3-point shot, he doesn't really force any shots. You know, last year he did a little bit, but this season he really hasn't done that. He's drove on the right opportunity. So another great game for Joe. And, like, Torian Prince wasn't really hot from three, but Joe was 4 of 9, and that's going to do it. And he had that dagger at the end.
Yeah, and Torian Prince as well, you know, had 4 steals himself. So, I mean, you can only – he did step up on that end. He was exhausting.
11 rebounds too.
Exactly. So, you know, he had another double-double. He's exhausting a lot of energy on Brandon Ingram too. But, yeah, that dagger three from Joe just – it made my heart flutter a little bit, Nick. You know, a nice little birthday clutch bucket from my boy Joe Harris. It was wonderful to see. It made me get up out of my seat. Nice little yelp from me. It was wonderful. And – I think just speaking more at the team overall, Nick.
And just a quick note that I know you didn't see because you were there.
Yeah.
It looked like Joe Harris, after he hit the three, he'd missed one prior. He said to Kyrie, "I'm not going to miss that shot twice."
Oh, man, that's my guy. That's my guy. You know Joey Buckets ain't going to miss more than one. He is just wet, nothing but wet. But, Nick, looking at the minutes distribution, can he let things go a little bit?
Yeah, and I think that's what he knew this team needed to win. He needed to get some momentum going into this road trip, and I thought that was important. And maybe if he did this against Detroit or maybe even in the Memphis game, the Nets walk away with a win. You saw Taurean Prince play 37 minutes, Caris LeVert 35 minutes, Kyrie 34 minutes. So he's getting out of his comfort zone, and I think that's important because we talked about in the last few shows, the bench isn't the same as last season. It's not as good, and your starters are substantially better than your bench. You're just going to have to play your better players more. And it's not like they're playing excessive minutes. Like 37 minutes for a guy at Taurean Prince's age is not bad at all.
No, and I think it's probably the most worrisome for out of all those guys, Kyrie Irving, because we know the injury history that he has had. But hopefully, you know, Spencer Dinwiddie gets into some form on this road trip and we can lessen those minutes a little bit. I'd expect Spencer to play a few more than 21 minutes in the upcoming West Coast road trip. You know, Garrett Temple, I think, has proved to me and again tonight that he is going to be an incredible, not incredible, it might be a bit hyperbolic of a word, a bit exaggeratory of a word, but he's just an incredibly consistent performer for this Nets squad.
Yeah, he's a guy that's going to play his role. You know, if his three-point shot is on, that's going to be a big boost. If it's not, he's still going to do some of those small things out there. You know, defensively, you feel pretty confident that he's going to communicate with his teammates as well. So I think Garrett Temple is kind of getting on our good side as the season progresses.
And I don't think it was literally he had maybe one poor game at the start of the season where we were worrying, all right, what's this guy going to bring us? Now the three ball's dropping. Now he's providing leadership. He's sort of, you know, a pseudo Jared Dudley, but a guy who can produce a lot more when he's on the court. And I think that that's a really positive role to have. We've got to have some bench guys. We've got at least one now in Garrett Temple, and Spencer Dinwiddie obviously is normally. So that's, you know, seven guys in rotation. And then DeAndre Jordan, when he's healthy, I guess we should probably get to that injury. I was shocked. I'm like, what actually happened to him? Because it was on the other side of the court for me. And I could actually hear him yell the F word all the way oh, from damn. The other side. He like literally slapped the ground. And then he hit the bench, and then he, you know, when he walked into the tunnel, I saw him pretty closely as well. But Michael Scotto reported that he was walking around with a limp in the locker room, and there isn't a timetable. Do you expect him to suit up on this road trip, Nick?
I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't even go on the road trip. You know, it is a pretty decent trip, so he could play, he couldn't play. I'd put it at maybe like 50-50, maybe even leading towards like 40% chance he plays. We know the Nets are going to be conservative. And it did look like a pretty nasty roll, but we've seen in the past, you know, when Trae Young rolled his ankle, it seemed to look like he might be out a month, and now he's already possibly going to play in the next couple of days.
Yeah, so obviously it's a positive thing. I was, you know, fearing for the worst and, you know, Achilles and ACLs, but the fact he was able to walk off on his own accord, he looked, obviously it's an unpleasant injury no matter what, you know, when you're playing.
Sometimes ankle sprains hurt more than, like, more serious injuries just because of what happens.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the acute pain, you know, temporarily in those moments, you know, it can be, you know, pretty bothersome. And I think a guy like DeAndre Jordan, one thing I really like as well, just a tidbit about DeAndre, he has handshakes with everyone. Like in the pregame when they're announcing the guys and the music's on and the warm-up's happening, he literally, and my favorite one, for those who haven't seen and those who haven't been to a Nets game, he with Jared Allen, he like just touches his hair and he just makes sure it's on point. And people might know this, but he just seems like a fun teammate. And it looked to me tonight, like in terms of the chemistry, despite the fact that the Nets haven't been performing, everyone was joking on the bench. We saw KD give the thumbs down to the Garrett Temple dunk. And then the massive stank face for that Kyrie Irving, one-legged mid-ranger. I mean, it's cool to have that guy out there. And the bench is having fun. And I think a lot of people were, you know, concerned about that heading into the season.
Yeah, and I think one guy who helps keep that bench morale really high is Theo Pinson. Yeah. Like, he's just consistently happy and energetic. And it's hard for guys not to get involved when this guy's literally going at it for the entire game. And you already see him kind of developing a relationship with KD. You could even speak on that more being there. But he's usually sitting right next to him and they're chatting during the game, having some fun.
It was funny because the second dunk, was it Kyrie that had a dunk as well?
He had like a drop in, not I wouldn't call it a dunk.
Well, someone like, there was another, like the dunk after Garrett Temple's. And Joe Harris stands up and he goes to Katie, he goes to Theo, and he's like, let's put our thumbs down again. I'm just like, oh, Joe, I want to be your friend as well. But
it's like, Joe, you better not talk too much because you're not getting much higher in your tone.
Hey. I will hang up right now if this guy, if you besmirch Joe Harris on my birthday of all days.
I'm not talking about his 3-point shot. We're just saying he's going to win the dunk contest.
Watch your mouth, son. Watch your mouth. Jared Allen was awesome tonight, Nick.
Yeah. This is probably his best game of the season, especially offensively. He talked a little bit after the game that New Orleans was looking to trap Kyrie or Karis on some plays, so he was kind of giving him a short roll, give him an option to throw to, and he just, you know, took advantage and attacked the rim. And also, New Orleans' defense was terrible. You know, they played Jahlil Okafor, who wasn't very good, and then Jaxson Hayes just isn't ready for NBA minutes. So Jared Allen capitalized, and he also had some really nice offensive rebounds. I felt like he felt like, okay, I can actually body somebody, and he was bodying Jaxson Hayes in the post, like getting those boards.
And that insane finish off the Brandon Ingram flavor was maybe one of the highlights. I mean, it's hard to say highlight of the season when you have Kyrie Irving producing like 8 of them in a quarter. But Jared Allen was like, when he got, for those that might not have seen it, he gets tackled essentially pretty forcefully by Brandon Ingram. And Jared just throws it up to see if it goes in. And it goes in off the glass. And he falls to the ground. He doesn't even see. And someone tells him, he's like, and one? And he was just smiling. And I know some people on Twitter were sort of saying that, you know, Jared Allen needs to be more angry about that, I guess probably relaying back to the Joel Embiid performance. But it's his personality. You don't want to force someone to be something that they're not. And, you know, he hit the two flagrant free throws. Say that a million times. Sheesh. And that, for me, is what's important. And I still think there are some issues with these free throws. But for me, it's nothing to do with the mechanics. It's always timing for him, for me, when it comes to the Brooklyn Nets and their free throws. And unless the ball is in Kyrie Irving's hands, then I'm not necessarily confident with the free throws. But that's a discussion for another day. But yeah, Jared Allen's physicality was great tonight. But he's not going to have that every night. You know, heading into teams like, you know, the Portland Trailblazers, it's going to be a tricky affair for him, especially with DeAndre Jordan out.
I think he also did a very good job, and some of this is New Orleans' defense just being bad. It's just kind of finding the open space. In other games, it felt like he was almost crowding too close to the rim and not giving himself any, you know, opportunity to operate or even get some momentum, because we know he can get up and throw down on people. It's just like when you catch the ball right there, and we know he's not physically strong enough to go just straight up off 2 feet and dunk on somebody, but if he gets a head start, hey, he can throw it down.
Oh, yeah, big time. Absolutely big time. That's on the boards again, Nick, but I think the most outstanding stat is 32 assists to 18.
Wow. Yeah. The ball movement was something you could instantly see from the start, you know, that the Nets were just looking to move the ball and they were passing up good shots for great shots. And even the drivers, the penetrators, Kyrie Irving, Caris LeVert, and Spencer Dinwiddie to an extent were just finding guys in open spots and they were just getting a lot of threes. The Nets only hit 39%, which they easily could have probably hit in the mid-40s. Only 39% because so many wide open threes.
Yeah, like, that's true. That's true.
The New Orleans defense was bad. Like, I know we're happy about the Nets offense, but we can't ignore the fact that the Pelicans defense was bad. It was like Houston Rockets level.
Yeah, I think it was a little more engaged in the second half. I think that they played better defense for longer stretches than the Houston Rockets did. You know, from at least a visual standpoint from when I was there, because I was at both of those games. So I could just see, you know, in the first half, the defense from the Pelicans was very lax and the Nets really could have capitalized and really almost put the game away there. But they were just Brandon Ingram.
I'd say the biggest difference between the defenses is the Pelicans actually have some good on-ball defenders, but their team defense is bad. Houston's on-ball defenders are bad and their team defense is bad. That was the issue tonight for the Pelicans. I know we're a Nets podcast, but you know, they would penetrate. Karis would take pretty much anybody off the dribble, get in the lane, and either, you know, the center would come through and they'd hit Jared Allen or he'd have a shot to take at the rim.
Yeah, I think that's a good point with that sort of, Nick. And I think maybe just speaking more, because I haven't really had a look at the advanced stats, and I'm just on the pages now, Nick. The Brooklyn Nets are 7th in offensive rating. Obviously, we expect our offense to be good, and I think last season we finished like 19th, but this team has so much offensive talent now. Do you think that's a range? I mean, this is probably a more general question. Do you think that's a range where the Nets could finish at the end of the season?
Yeah, I think they definitely could be a top 10 offense for sure. They have a lot of talent. Like, and Spencer Dinwiddie's not even playing well right now. Yeah. And a lot of the bench pieces aren't playing well. Like, they're going to gel a little bit more. I think the major difference this year that makes them a great offensive team, other than the talent additions, they're just looking to push the pace more. There's just so many more transition buckets where last year we go games without seeing a fast break point.
Yeah, and I think that that's where you get, and I guess it relates to the next stat that I'll bring up. Nets are third in effective field goal percentage across the league, just under two of the best teams in the Eastern Conference, the Miami Heat, the Milwaukee Bucks. So an effective field goal percentage of 55.1 as a team is pretty ridiculous. And obviously, these is a very, very early small sample size data, but positive signs, you know.
It might go up after tonight, too.
Yeah, it certainly could. It certainly could. But, you know, we certainly do have a ways to go in terms of defense. We are 20th in that facet of the game. I actually expected us to be worse, funnily enough. But the fact is, like you've mentioned before, Nick, I guess I probably get caught up in it a little bit. I'm always a bit more pessimistic. But the Nets are doing a lot of good things. And I think they're getting overlooked because it's always easier to nitpick the bad.
Yeah, they are doing a lot of good things. I mean, they scored 135 points and won tonight. They dealt with a team that got extremely hot and scored 48 points in a quarter. Most games, when you allow a team to score 48 points in a quarter, you're going to lose that game. So they dealt with some adversity. They hit some clutch buckets. They got some stops tonight. They definitely took a step forward. You know, the defense still had its issues in that third quarter, and obviously 23 turnovers is just kind of unacceptable. But it just almost makes you excited for what will happen when this team kind of gets everything together. Like you mentioned earlier, Kyrie said, be patient with us because they know they're not there yet.
Yeah, and I think that that's the tantalizing prospect. You know, obviously it's going to be a bumpy ride along the way. It already has been, and feels like, you know, we're losing sleep, we're pulling our hair out, all these sort of things at this early sort of point. And I think obviously the bench is a bit of a worry, Nick. You know, we probably bring him up every episode, but, you know, Rodion Skurdzic only saw 7 minutes.
And he looked bad in all those 7 minutes. He traveled twice tonight. He was just, he's just out of sync. Like, he does not know his role with this team, and he just almost doesn't know what to do out there.
It's funny because every single time he gets the ball, some of the times, maybe 40% of the time, he's probably wide open to take a shot. And because he doesn't have that confidence in the shot, which I am not necessarily bewildered, but, you know, a little bit shocked at, because he shoots the ball okay. He's not a horrible shooter. He's not like, you know, a net negative on the floor. Just let it fly. And I think Coach Kenny should be telling him that when he's out there, show your confidence. We have the confidence in you. I think he needs maybe like a bit of an arm around the shoulder more than a kick up the bum. I think he really needs some confidence instilled in him because, you know, we need some guys in the rotation. Obviously, we could see in the coming days someone replace Wilson Chandler on the roster for a certain standpoint. But, you know, Rodion's has shown so much. We know what he can do. And it's weird because he should fit this style of play quite well. You know, he is an athlete. He can get out and transition incredibly well. But he's incredibly erratic right now. He's not trusting himself, it seems. And I think he just needs to play more instinctual. It looks like every time I'm watching, I'm like, he's thinking way too much.
Yeah, you know what really would help Rodion's is if the Nets could get a blowout and they could just let him play out, you know, an entire quarter or something, like play out the fourth and just get minutes out there. It's like he plays in such a small spurt that it's almost hard to get things going, especially when you're in such a funk right now. And we've talked about this a lot. He's such a young basketball player. It's like he just needs to get back to his fundamentals. Like those travels, like the moves that he made aren't bad. It's just he traveled. Like just put the ball down, you know, proper footwork and you'll be in the right spot. And like you mentioned, take some threes. Like, you haven't missed enough threes this season for us to be like, stop shooting those. Like, your stroke isn't bad either, and that's an area where you can really be effective in the NBA, especially on this team.
Yeah, I think it's a good point, Nick. You know, he hasn't, I mean, I'd be interested to see, maybe you could look up for me on Basketball Reference, how many threes he's actually taken this year. And I mean, he hasn't probably taken that many. And his turnovers are essentially just travels. Like, he's not turning the ball over, and some of them are live ball. I know there was one against the Memphis Grizzlies where he was just a little bit out of control, but yeah, he just doesn't have confidence. He doesn't have that trust in himself. But I still want him to be a part of this rotation. You know, tonight I was almost ready for him. I mean, like, let's put some Nicholas Claxton out there. I thought he probably would have fit. And if in terms of, you know, against the other roster, against the New Orleans Pelicans, he probably would have been okay against like a guy like a Jackson Hayes or whoever. But we might see him on the road trip. But you got those numbers for me, mate?
Yeah, it's really weird. If a basketball B-ball reference is updated, it had 6 games, obviously not including tonight. But he's 2 of 3 from deep.
So he is 66%.
So he's like, I don't know why he's not shooting them.
It's very strange because, like, I probably count 2 occasions in the 7 minutes, and it was probably the 2 turnovers where he traveled, where he should have taken threes. And it's like, I don't think coach is going to bench you. Maybe that's, he's just in his head. We could analyze it till the cows come home. But, you know, Spencer Dinwiddie, it's funny because I was probably like less, you know, angry at this game, even though his box score numbers don't tell a lot than compared to his Detroit Pistons game, because I think he did a lot. He did some good things in Detroit, but he did, I think that was outweighed by the negative effect of the bad.
Yeah, and that's like tonight he had good moments. Like his first half was fine. It was just like some of the decisions he's made on the turnovers are just so bad. And coming from a guy who led the NBA in assist to turnover ratio, you know, a couple seasons ago, it's just like, how's it changed so much? And now he kind of gets himself caught in spots where he has nowhere to go with the ball and it just leads to a turnover. In the past, we never saw him do that. And it just, sometimes it just feels like he's taking the ball away from other guys and getting into like his pick and roll and his ISO instead of trying to initiate the offense at times. And we just need him to kind of get back to being that point guard, especially when so many of his minutes come with either Kyrie or Karis are on the floor. And I think we'd both agree at this point that Kyrie and Karis are probably better scorers than him.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think tonight they were tremendous for us. And I got a little bit angry when I slid into your DMs. I'm like, Spencer Dinwiddie better not be replacing him. And you were right. He was just out there.
I think it was like a minute rest. And it I was. Thought that was actually a good call by Kenny, because you don't want to play Karis the entire quarter.
Yeah, and I thought Kenny was good tonight in terms of his minute allocation. I thought his feel for the game was better. You know, the sets are always good. I love his ATOs. And I thought just like he played the guys the right amount of minutes. He seems to be becoming a little more liberal, you know, less, a bit more flexible with it. But Nick, before we end this one, do we want to just maybe give like a mini prediction on how this road trip will go?
Sure. I mean, do you want to just touch on Karis LeVert real quick? Because I thought Karis played a really good game in terms of not only scoring, but he brought a different level of energy to the team, not only offensively, but defensively. He drew two offensive fouls tonight on moving picks, and I think that's what you need. And he kind of helps set the tone for the entire team. And when you're kind of developing to a star and a leader of this team, that's what you need to do.
And I think that's one thing in the Detroit game and in some previous games, we expect that from him consistently, and he hasn't shown it. And I think tonight was probably his best defensive performance, you know, drawing that. And he just looked like he was ready. He looked like he wanted to be defending, whereas it maybe it's just an energy thing. And, you know, sometimes you're just off. You know, basketball, it's an 82-game season. You're going to have those off nights. But tonight he was certainly on. And, you know, that three ball, you know, he hit some really clutch threes. Yeah, he was great from that area. And he looks confident. And, like, I'm confident he's shot. He's shooting, like, 40 or 50% on the season, isn't he?
Yeah, I think it was like probably mid-30s before this game, but it'll probably boost up to the 40s after tonight. And I actually think it might have been his best game of the season if you consider the two-way ability he had. And then the fact is, like, I was so impressed by his ability to drive on Drew Holiday.
Yeah, I think it's weird with Drew. I think he still might be suffering some of the after effects of the injuries coming back from. But yeah, Karis is almost, you know, the ability he has with both hands in terms of driving off the left and driving off the right, he's incredibly confident and, you know, adept with he has that dexterity, that ambidexterity, which is incredibly difficult, obviously. And I think we might be talking about, by the end of the season, it might be a hot take, we are a Brooklyn Nets podcast, but we could be talking about the Brooklyn Nets as having one of the best backcourts in the league.
Yeah, and that's something we touched on during the preseason. You know, where do they rank? And, you know, going to the year, we thought they'd be top five. And now, obviously, one of the best backcourts is probably not even going to suit up this year. So there's a chance they can get even higher. But, I mean, the guys put up 60 points tonight and, 14 assists between them, some 11 rebounds. So they're putting up numbers, getting to the free throw line, knocking down threes, scoring in a variety of different ways. And we know if the Nets are going to be good, at least this season, these guys are going to be the two best players.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, we should probably touch on Kyrie Irving because he was outstanding. And my favorite play of his, probably no surprises to anyone, was the backdoor cut from Joe Harris in an absolutely pinpoint pass to him.
Yeah, that was beautiful. I mean, the one for me that just stuck out is the one-legged fadeaway jumper. It's just like, this is a real NBA game. He did that with ease, and you mentioned like KD stank face on that. There was just a couple highlight plays where you're like, God damn, he did some of them to Drew Holiday.
Yeah, and it was just like, dude, like we spoke about this last year when we went to the game. We're just like, damn, Drew Holiday is a monster defender. He definitely looked like he wasn't at his best tonight in terms of just being physically capable, but he was still there. And Drew Holiday, even at half of his best, is still one of the best defenders in the league. And but, you know, as always, good offense will beat good defense. And Kyrie Irving just has so many moments. And he's confident. And, you know, what he said to Michael Grady after the game, it's like a playground for him. And I think that when I watched it and I put this out there and it got a little bit of love on Twitter, I'm like, watching Kyrie play in person is like a religious experience. It's just, there's something artistic about it. It's like basketball, jazz. It's like, you know, I'm in New York now. You know, you live pretty close to New York City and Manhattan. It's like the city where there's so much art and creativity, and Kyrie almost embodies that.
Yeah, it is really true. He just like fits the vibe of the team and everything in the area. And it's just like so great for the Nets to have a player like this. It seems like every home game, there's a star there courtside or something to see Kyrie play, because, you know, a lot of people have said he's worth the price of admission. If there's one guy you want to see this season, it's been Kyrie Irving.
Oh yeah, he's worth the price of admission. And you know, if any of our listeners have a chance whatsoever, whatever occasion it might be, whatever city you are in, and if you're making your way to Brooklyn or if you're heading to one of the road games or whatever city you're in, definitely go see Kyrie Irving. He is, it's weird. I was almost, I think in my head as I was watching it, I'm like, I'm expecting him to make all these shots. I'm like, so I wasn't like as hyped as probably maybe some of the other people, because I'm like, oh, I saw this against the Houston Rockets. Oh, I saw this against the Pacers. And I shouldn't take that for granted, because it was absolutely ridiculous. But the road trip, Nick, it's going to be a toughie.
Yeah, so we'll give the teams out real quick. Friday night, they got the Blazers, then they'll have the Suns, the Jazz, the Nuggets, and they'll finish off with the Bulls.
So, I mean,
Suns are playing pretty good right now. They just beat the Sixers.
Exactly. Like, I think that we'd be lucky to get... I'd be happy with two wins out of those, because it is a real tough schedule. The Blazers are, you know, they have a premier backcourt. That backcourt battle is going to be insane. The Suns are dominating, you know, handing, like you mentioned, the Sixers their first loss of the season. The Jazz are going to be a contender. The Nuggets are going to be a contender. And the Bulls are going to be motivated to get some form back as well. So... hopefully we get two wins. Do you have any predictions? Obviously, we'll be recapping the games as much as we can, as much as I can. If I'm not on a plane, I'll certainly be there too.
Yeah, I'm going to be optimistic, and I'll go with 3-2 here. I think they can take advantage of Portland, who is a little banged up right now. It'll be the first game of the road trip. They're really well rested. I think they'll beat the Bulls, who have been one of the worst teams in basketball. Then they just have to find a way to win against, you know, the Suns, Jazz, or Nuggets. And it's hard to see a team this talented lose three straight.
Yeah, exactly. So from the Nets side, you know, we'll have to wait and see, you know, of DeAndre's health, and there'll be some other sort of storylines.
And that's going to be a big factor too. Don't get me wrong. Like we mentioned they might have to make an adjustment and use that Wilson Chandler spot to sign a big, you know, somebody's brought up Zeller, who's been with the team before. That could be a nice guy that fits right in there. And he's, you know, going to give you what you expect from him.
Yeah, but he knows the system, obviously. But thank you again, Brooklyn Nets, for getting a win on my birthday. It's funny. The last time I was in New York on my birthday, the Nets unfortunately lost to the Minnesota Timberwolves thanks to some heroics from Nikola Pekovic, of all people.
Oh, God. I remember that game. And Pekovic used to really, like, dominate the Nets.
He did. And that's when I was first becoming a Brooklyn Nets fan. I was just like, really? Like, I'm obviously not as obsessed now, and, you know, podcasts were probably not as big of a thing. But, you know, I'm glad that we have Kyrie Irving. If we had Kyrie Irving back then, I'm sure we would have won it.
Yeah, I hope even we had Kenny, because at that time they literally just got killed by Pekovic for, like, I want to say he had like 30 points on them, but we could dive deep into that for a long time. But Jack, happy birthday to you. Happy the Nets got a win on your B-Day, and obviously go follow the man at the J-Man JBT.
And shout out to my boy Alec for saying hi at the game. It was good to see a fan, and go Nets.
Go Nets. And like we mentioned before, you can find the show on iTunes, OGGBasketball.com, NetsRepublic.com, Dash Radio, and Google Play.